We are in Acts chapter 1, and we're finishing the first chapter, and from here we begin moving very quickly through the stories of the book of Acts. But I couldn't leave chapter 1 without you seeing something that you and I are notorious for, and that the Lord would take from our lives and allow us to see as He sees. Here we are, verse 20. We've seen the Holy Spirit fall upon the early church, and everybody is learning. Leadership isn't perfectly designed yet. Doctrine and dogma isn't set up in place yet. And God is going to use these people as a large group. There were 12 disciples. And in this last message, we saw that in this upper room, there were 120 people, which means it grew by 100% plus. It just exploded. And that's how this church started, with 10, and then 100, and then 1,000, and just kept doing it. And I learned very quickly that it was not for a pastor to be on top of a pinnacle of success and have everybody come to him and hold on to all those people. The Lord showed me very quickly was to raise up men and release his ministry to men, and it'll grow faster and broader. And we have seen that happen around the world, that there are so many men serving the Lord this morning. It's an amazing thing. It is written in the book of Psalms. And remember again, this is a fisherman. He's not a very old fisherman at this time. He will be older by the end of this book. And when you read 1 and 2 Peter, you realize that he's learned many lessons. And in fact, Jesus told him, you know, when you were younger, you used to go left and go right, go up hills and down hills. You did whatever you wanted. But when you get older, men are going to have to carry you from place to place. And he was a very strong man with a big ego. And God humbled him. And as he got older, he took more time to write and to put the things out that Jesus taught so you and I could read them and understand how to be a Christian and what is expected of us. So it is written. So he was a young teenage guy. The book of Psalms he knew, and he quoted it right from his head, right off the top of his head. Let his place be desolate, speaking of Judas Iscariot. And let no one live in it. And let another take his office. Now you may want to make a footnote here. This is very authoritative. It says, and Peter stood up among the brethren in verse 15. He was bold. Out of all those 120, he spoke out. Out of those 12, he spoke out. And here he is being very authoritative. And a person can be authoritative, but still not spiritual. And Peter doesn't know yet how to walk in the Spirit, so he doesn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we will learn from him. So he's authoritative, but not spiritual, because he spiritually comes out with a scripture verse with authority and says, let another take his office. He applies it to the situation that one of the 12 is dead. And of course, that's Judas Iscariot that hung himself. Therefore, of these men, would you underline of these men? Because this is the basis, the premise for what he's going to say in the next three or four verses. Tell us, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Tell us, who is it? Which one? And beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, as one of these must, underline that. The first of these is men. The next of these is must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, and they said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these, and here's that term again, underline these of these two, we have of these men, of these must, and now we have of these two. Please show us which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, or Matthias, as some say, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles, so that made him number 12. Now, Jose Pacheco had made friends with a man who started coming to the church in Mazatlan. And he was able to contact the mayor and the different officials and tell them the gospel of Jesus. And one man started coming very regularly. He had a senator that came regularly, senator of all of Mexico, for that area of Mexico, that met with their Congress in Mexico City. And he had the chief of police of Mazatlan. So when we were in Mazatlan this very first time, he invited me to come and to address his police department and to speak to them. And I have a idea that I share when I go around the country or around the world and I meet with police departments. I show them my badge. That my badge is just like any regular San Diego police officer badge. It's gold, except I have a cross right here. And that's a big plus in my life. Because I can now let men and women open up to my heart. And I understand, having gone through an academy like they have and spent thousands of hours on the streets like they have and been in all sorts of situations, that I can catch their attention like I did that afternoon, about 80 degrees outside, a wind blowing off the ocean, 800 of the department, almost all of them were there, and I gave an invitation to accept the Lord. And I spoke about the ethics of the badge, the morality of the person who wears the badge. The person must be moral, but that badge speaks of ethics of trust, that you can trust anyone wearing this badge. And I asked them the question, can anyone trust you seeing your badge? Anyhow, we gave an invitation that afternoon. Many, many of the personnel accepted the Lord. And that night, having dinner with the chief, he said that it was so strong what God did that I have put a order out to fire 400 of our 800 officers that I know are corrupt. And that's starting this week. I said, oh my goodness, could you give me a concealed weapons permit or something while I'm here? I mean, I don't want to be the cause of this. He said, no. I read the Bible, I study, I've been thinking something's wrong, and I know there's corruption. That man was honored by God for doing such a thing. He was trusted by officials higher than himself to take positions that were larger than he had before. You know, Peter is a man of morality, a man of ethics, authoritative, but he has not learned what it means to walk with Jesus. Even though he has walked with Jesus. In the very last chapter, the Gospel of John, we looked at it two Sundays ago, we saw that John was walking away with Jesus, and Jesus was explaining to John what his life was going to be like, and all of a sudden, Peter butts in and says, hey, what about him? And Jesus basically said, worry about yourself. Do you love me, Peter? Well, of course I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Do you really love me, Peter? I told you I love you. Then feed my sheep. Do you really love me? And he used a different word, sacrificial giving of your own life. Then feed my lambs. And Peter thought he would be more than what he was, but he was a shepherd, he was a pastor. That would have been tough for Peter, because a fisherman is like a used car salesman. He can get an abundance in and sell it because there's not too much fish at a higher price than he sold the week because he caught less fish. So he could make his income rise or fall. And he liked that freedom. But now he's going to be looked at by people like you're looking towards me. And he's going to have to live a life that's in a fishbowl. And he's going to have to remember that there are pastors and other people that really need his help. So he needs to be strong in Jesus. and take his eyes off everybody else and criticizing everybody else and just stay with the Word. Now let me show you John, the first chapter. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John if you're first and new to the Bible. It's the book just before the book of Acts. We'll come right back to the book of Acts. But let me show you how John took this to heart and how strong it was in his life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, he the Word. All these things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So there's no evolution. In him was life, and the world is a lie. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the lie of the world is darkness in people's marriages and families and hearts, and in its creative arts and entertainment. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jews, and his own did not receive him. But, and you want to circle this verse and circle number 12 and put stars around it and underline it. But as many, would you read it out loud with me? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. As many as received him, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh, Jesus, born in Bethlehem, dwelt among us, he lived on the earth, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of him, he cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I have said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. The Word. How sad it is that churches don't teach the Word. And it's so cool to see the number of churches, as Maria was saying, that are just discovering in Mexico chapter and verse. And how from the inside of the country, strength is coming and ethics are being laid out from pulpits. And to know some of the lawyers in Mexico City and some of the politicians that are young, but they're vibrant in Christ, it's a blessing for me, having been throughout that country and met so many people. It's a blessing to see that the Bible is the foundation for many people's lives. And I'm telling you, Fox News won't report that. CNN won't report that, or ABC, CBS, or NBC. But I'm reporting it to you today. Mexico is a good place. It is a beautiful place. It has such beauty in so many places. Their beaches are spectacular and untouched by American hotels. And there are places that are just amazing. And the children are the brightest side just about anywhere in the world. And so much opportunity that has gone to waste. And we know that the drug cartels now have about 5 million in their army, and the Mexican army has about 100,000. So you can just see the numbers. Now there's the evil. There's the evil. And you and I should be praying against that evil Because sometimes the influence comes over the border. Sometimes legally, sometimes illegally. But instead of complaining, we need to know that the word is there. And Maria and her daughter are to remind us all today that God is working in Mexico. And the next time you hear a lie, that these people are bad or evil, you need to bow your head and say a prayer. And let the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart, speak to their heart, and bring goodness between the two of our great countries. Now, before you go home, I do want to point out to you in Acts that he did a couple of things that I found myself doing. And I've counseled many people who have done these same things. But maybe you could only admit it to yourself right now, to God, and it could change your life forever. Let me point him out. First of all, he's authoritative. And having a loud voice does not make a preacher or a pastor or an evangelist an authoritative person. Standing up in the middle of the crowd was more than Peter. That was the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter didn't know him yet. He received him, but he didn't know him yet. So to be out in front was normal for him. And God is going to shape his life. And we're going to see two major characters throughout the book of Acts, and that's St. Peter and St. Paul. So you today may be something like this, and you just have natural gifts. I have a friend that's a minister in Washington, D.C., great communicator. And he told me a lobbyist company offered him a job many years ago. And they offered to give him $1 million to sign with their company and $200,000 every year with raises and bonuses to be a lobbyist and to take his gift of speaking to the Hill and influence people to change their votes or to give their votes and at the same time become rich. And they said, we'll give you a week to think about it. And he said, you don't need to wait a minute. I appreciate your offer, but I serve God. We have to come to that place in all of our lives, that we're serving God with our talent and our gift. Tim Tebow is despised by many people because of him playing football and liking to let people. The only reason is he's big and strong. He's fearless. He'll run the ball more than he'll pass the ball. I was reading one of his college games. He passed for 243 yards, but he ran for 168 yards, made two passing touchdowns and two running touchdowns. And people that are in the business like to see things more normal and predictable, that they call the plays. And when he kneels down and prays, the Tebow, they get upset with that. But God uses him, and who knows, he may end up being a quarterback for the San Diego Chargers. You never know. A backup, at least. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us, often you and I do the same thing. We put forth the qualifications of what we're going to do. We may even write it out. Where we're going to go. What we're going to invest in. But when it comes to spiritual things and we do this, we're wrong. They set the qualifications. Let God set the boundaries for your life, not man, or religion, or denomination. The boundaries for our life are right here in the scriptures, and the person of the Holy Spirit, who is invisible, is there for you. Imagine a dog running around your backyard, and you have no fence. And I come over to visit you, and I love dogs, and you have these three beautiful dogs in your backyard, and you love these dogs. And there they are. They're big dogs. And I say, whoa, your dog can run out. There's no fence. Could run right out in that alleyway there and get hit by a car. Oh, he'll never do it. They'll never do it. And then I go to your front yard, and the dogs come around to the front where we are, and cars are passing in front of your house. And I say, your dog's out. Don't worry. They won't go anywhere. You have an invisible shock system. And when that dog walks up to that, it immediately goes, and your dog stops. You're mean. You're horrible. You're a wicked person. You're evil. Picking on these dogs like that. But that dog has been trained. You don't go beyond that because it's... and your hair frizzes out and your tail goes straight and you lift your rear leg. And that's an embarrassing position for dogs. But that tells your dog, and now you don't even have the bzzz anymore. You've trained him not to go there. And the Word of God trains me not to go there. It just specifically, you don't belong there as a man that loves the Lord. You don't read that stuff as a man that loves the Lord. You don't watch TV shows like that. This is what Jesus Christ died for. And all of a sudden, I am so used to the boundaries that protect me. A boundary is not there to hurt you. It is there to protect you. The Ten Commandments were not mean things of God towards people. They were blessings to people that they would understand He only requires four things of you. And interacting with people, He only says there's six things that you need to do and you'll have a perfect life of people. You'll love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, your neighbor as yourself. You'll be at peace. Boundaries. But the sad thing is they make the qualifications in how often you and I make the qualifications or set the standard. Therefore, of these, that's the first of these men who have accompanied us, there's the standard. They have to be with us. It could not be anybody else. All the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Isn't it something that when authority changes or somebody's no longer there, that's the team of the basketball or the captain or the quarterback is changed or the CEO of your company, how quickly we on the lower level start maneuvering. Notice how self-centered this was. Look at that very closely. He says, here's the standard. This person that we're going to, of these men who are standing here, the standard is that they have been all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. It was among us. It wasn't that we were in His presence. There's a difference. You can be a Sunday Jesus follower like this. Every time He went in and out among us, or every time we have the opportunity to go in and out from Him. To make Jesus the center of your life changes your life radically. You'll never be the same again when you look at it from Him being the center and you being the servant. So a subtlety like that begins organization and structure. And it could sway people. But God's not going to let it happen. The second point I wanted to make was that He gives the qualifications. The qualifications were beginning from the baptism of John to that day when He was taken up from us. One of these, there's the other of these, must become a witness with us. That's the qualification, must become a witness. And we only have two men that qualify to this standard and qualification that are in this room right now. If you're prone to narrow God down to choose one of two, you've got a pretty, pretty narrow life. Don't limit God. Obviously, there's more than two that God can choose. You may be into something right now, and you've done that. I've seen many Christians, oh, bless this, Lord. Instead of getting the blessing from the Lord, we get something from our mind or an idea or from the world, and then we walk around with it for a little while and say, bless this, Lord. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Bless this. As opposed to, Lord, whatever you want in my life, I pray your blessings on my life. And God comes to you and presents an opportunity to you that won't distract you. And you have the blessings of the Lord. Many Christians do their own thing and then ask God to bless it according to their standard and their qualifications of how their life should be lived. We hear it all the time. Somebody flirting with somebody at work. Somebody saying, well, we don't go all the way, we just... No. You're asking God to bless something that Jesus Christ died for. And that is one of the biggest things I have seen in the last 4 or 5 years. And especially on television when you see ChristianMatchup.com, ChristianWithACross.com, ChristianWithAFish.com singles get together with us. These are businesses. And yes, you may get somebody online, but you also may get somebody that is a scam artist from Russia. If you need to go to a line, I would ask the FBI to do a thorough background check with whoever you speak with, whatever makes your heart go pitter-patter. But many Christians say, well, I got met him online, we got married, and 4 weeks later, she left me for her ex-husband. Oh, great. Did you talk to the Lord about it? Well, it was a Christian thing. You're not into Christian things. You're into the Lord. And I found that the thing that's much bigger than the internet in any way in my life is the throne room of God. And I can go in at any time and talk to him about any subject, and he'll give me the correct answer. What we don't like is waiting when he says, I'll get back to you on that one. And it's been 18 years since you've been waiting, you know. It's just waiting on the Lord is difficult. So when we set the bar, this is how it's going to be. The standard is set. I make the qualifications. Has to be anybody that's done this. Well, there's only two people in the 120 that have done this. Wow, you are limiting God. Of these two, which of these two have you chosen? Well, you know, sadly enough, he didn't choose either one of them. They chose him. Look what happens here, and I'll let you go. Peter said to them, therefore these men, beginning from the baptism, the qualifications, so they proposed too. Well, that's politics. Joseph and Matthias. And then they prayed. And that sure blesses it. Right there, they prayed. Sometimes you'll be talking to somebody, and they'll say, you know, my grandmother, she's not going to live much longer. My heart's broken. She knows the Lord, though. She's going to heaven. And you're standing there, and you've got three or four Christians around you, and you are, wow, I'm just so sad about it, and I'm sorry. And then somebody says, let's pray. And so you all bow your heads. There's five of you, we'll say, and you take hands. Oh, Lord, we pray for Lucille's grandmother, that if there's anybody here named Lucille, I don't know. We pray that you would bless her today and comfort her and comfort Lucille. Jesus' name, amen. Now, who wants to go down to the sports arena? There's a great concert there tonight. You just prayed, supposedly, just talked to God, supposedly, and immediately you're off to the world. Did he get that prayer? I've seen it in groups many, many times where the Spirit has moved or in a service. I was with Ann Graham Lotz one time. She flew hundreds of miles, and I flew hundreds of miles to be with her, and she just had a burning. She told me, I have this burning message on my heart, Mike. The Lord has really laid this, and she's a woman of the Word. And I said, well, I know they're going to receive it. It's going to be great. I'll be praying, and I have been for several months knowing that we're going to be here tonight. And somebody got up, and they read a biography, and Billy Graham's daughter, and so forth, and she doesn't care about any of that. She's got a burden on her heart, and her calling is to give the word of the Lord. And she's been very good at that. She gets up. I mean, sparks are flying. Flames are burning. God is throwing down swords to people to grab and get ready to go against the devil. The word was just such a prophetic word about where America was, is, and is going. It was just amazing. Now it's 10 o'clock at night. They held her to the last. Said, whoa, this is amazing. And she got up there and did this great job and then praised this wonderful prayer for all these people. And I was just basking in the love of God that was there and the power of his word. And as soon as she sat down, didn't even say, thank you, I don't think. Didn't say, whoa, we got more than our money's worth. We should spend the next 4 weeks in prayer right here. Don't leave anybody. But how quickly we do that. We set the agenda. We say, this is our vacation. This is how I do business. This is how this is done. And we leave God out and then say, when we get in trouble, oh God, would you bless this? You know that I'll start tithing if you start giving me more. Well, he's given you 40 years to tithe. So don't be a person like that, limiting God. Don't just put it down, well, this one or this one, you choose now, Lord. Oh, thank you. That's how small your God is. He can only handle the choice of one to two. Lord of the 7 billion people on the planet, show us which one. Now there's a prayer of faith. We need to know who it is you want. Where they are, we don't have a clue. You may want to do something differently than we think about. Duh. He did. So they only prayed for what they could see with their eyes. And the kingdom of God is not by what we can see with our eyes. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he didn't talk to us at all. Blind men could see what he was saying. So don't you be blind with your eyes working. God is so big. Stop limiting him. Now, they gave the qualifications. They gave the standards. And then they said, this person, we're going to tell them what the ministry is about. This person is to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, as if God hadn't heard. They are reading him the Jerusalem Post. He might have his own place in hell. They cast their lots. Okay, that was well known. They pulled their straw out. Oh, we're so sorry. Justice, you didn't get it. Matthias did. Next time we have an election for somebody spiritual, we'll put you at the head of the list. Don't limit God. Don't box him in a corner. Don't put yourself in a corner. Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't know. We haven't lived tomorrow yet. Our calendars tell us we have a life tomorrow, supposedly. But we don't know. So we need to be sensitive of the Lord moving. But because we as Americans go by the wristwatch, he has to move within the limit that he has, according to our calendar. Don't limit the Lord. If you're in a bad situation, don't limit the Lord, nor tell him how to get you out of the bad situation. Because he watched you get yourself into it, and he's not going to use the same methods to get you out of it. My ways are beyond your ways. As far as the heavens are from the earth, my thoughts beyond your thoughts, as far as the heavens are from the earth. So now they say what the ministry is about, and they have not yet started in the ministry. They cast their lots, and this one man in verse 26, it fell upon Matthias. They rolled the dice. He was numbered with the 11. And never again in this book do you ever hear that man mention. Don't limit the Lord. Because Paul was who God was working with. Man can work with church, but if man stands back and realizes it's God's church and he's the boss, then we cannot limit him. At school, at work, at family, at play, don't limit the Lord. And I say this in a very positive way because he's got so much more for us. He wants to bless us bigger than we can imagine. And I have found that sometimes in the middle of pain or suffering, God drops the balm of blessing on us and we don't deserve it. And he says, that's right, you don't. That's what grace is called. And he uses your situation to teach you the truths of the gospel. Let God bless you. No longer limit him. And let Jesus lead you as the Spirit guides you. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? Shall we thank the Lord for this day? We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we pray for each person here as they head for home, that your Spirit would lead them and guide them, and decisions that need to be made will be made waiting on you. Lord, bless with no limitations and spread out the grace and the mercy and the warmth of your love. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask this. Amen.